Into hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. My name is Bob Look, sitting in for Chad, who's got a vacation day. His final vacation day today. Or is he gonna be like kicking and screaming that he has to come back tomorrow? I don't know.
No, I think he'll be happy to come back.
Well, that voice you're hearing over there, that's Ian. He is our show producer. He does a heck of a good job of it, too.
Thank you.
Because... you know, the show producer is the person who makes this thing sound seamless. I just basically talk, which some people would say is not my strong suit either, but I work at it. But, you know, but he's out there pushing the buttons, making sure everything is running right. And then we thank him for his efforts. And by the way, just a reminder, too, that listen for your chance to win a Chula Vista Resort overnight stay and more with our Ride into Spring statewide contest here with Civic Media. And your next opportunity will be coming up right in the 10 o'clock hour, right? They will have another keyword for you to run in and text in. And who knows, maybe you'll get yourself that getaway, or there's other prizes that can be won, too. Mm-hmm. And the last day of the contest, by the way, it will be this Friday, 4 p.m. So I suggest you keep tuned to Civic Media and the many fine programs and people that you get to listen to. Of course, Pat Kreitlow, a friend of mine, I've known him for a while, and sit there, and he's in out in the northwestern part of the state of Wisconsin. He's been in that area for a long, long time, and great, great individual. And he's also served in the state legislature, too, in the past. So he's a good, good, good guy. Anyway, our phone number here is 715-382-9297. This half hour, we've got a pretty wide open time to chat here on the program. There's a few things I do want to kind of touch on this morning. One is this. I got this on my little smartphone here, and I'm just going to read what it says here. Walmart. You know, you've got a lot of people who do shopping at Walmart.
Walmart's a very busy store, yes.
Well, it may be busy, but this this individual, I don't go to Walmart. The last time I went into a Walmart was basically somebody gave me a $25 gift card.
That's pretty good.
To, you know, go to, but this was like a whole bunch of years ago. And I basically went there, you know, just to buy, you know, just to use up the 25 bucks because somebody gave it to me as a gift. So I feel obliged to do that. But as far as me going to Walmart to shop, that's no. Now, and if you're wondering, oh, Bob, you really shouldn't, you know, say that, because what if Walmart, you know, would it want to advertise? They're not going to advertise the local media. They don't care. They don't care. They, you know, their job is to get things out there cheap, but it also, with the way they do that, they end up hurting a lot of local merchants who are trying to make their living their way. Here's something to think about here, gang. Walmart hiked prices big time. You know, you're talking about all the prices are going up for this and that, you know, from COVID and just, but on their brand, their own brand that they have, Great Value is the name of their brand for products and that. But anyway, they hiked prices on all these various items. The result, the net income for Walmart spiked. 93%. It went to $10.5 billion toward the end of 2023, the year just finished. We got 3 months to go, right?
That's right.
Now, $10.5 billion, a 93% increase in just that short period of time. And you'd think that, well, things are going well enough that maybe those prices could maybe go down a little bit, give the consumer, where he has to deal with inflation and all that, maybe give them a little better deal. No.
No?
Walmart rewarded their shareholders with $5.9 billion in buybacks of their stock and dividends. And when I say, and I refer to price gouging is what's driving inflation, mm-hmm. it's not this or that or this policy or this policy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when I say price gouging is driving inflation, this is what I mean. The corporate profits that are out there under the guise of, oh, well, our supply chain, you know, kind of fell apart because of COVID and we had this and done. And well, you take a look at the gas stations here in the last few days, mm-hmm. the last week or so. We were hovering under $3 for a good point in time.
Last time I checked, it was about 2 weeks ago. It was like a $2.95.
Yeah.
And then a few days after, I was like, holy smokes, it jumped to a $3.17.
Yeah.
And
well,
it just kept going up the next couple of weeks. And today it's up to like $3.37.
Yep. Yeah, $3.40 something is down by gas stations near where I live.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, what's the reason for, you know, that? Well, let's lay it out there. It's easy for big corporations, monopoly corporations, who just have control over the amount that they're going to charge because no one's there to stop them. There's no company saying, oh, well, you can buy our product at this rate. There's no price. You know, the airlines do it. And then what happens is it just trickles down. That's trickle down economics right there. It's not helping people. It's trickling down as far as the profit for the companies and the corporations that can just state there, oh, we'd like to make more. We'd like to, right. You know, and not have anyone tell you about it. And sometimes, you know, I'm for the free markets and that, but this isn't free market when you have oil monopolies, wholesale store monopolies.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't competition. That's just, you know, they're playing on their own field. It's like having a football game. There's only one team on the field, and they can just score all day long.
Yeah.
Hey, Joey, you want a touchdown? Yeah, okay, toss the pass to him, run on the field. Yeah, I'm in the end zone, touchdown. Yeah. And we check the scoreboard, and the scoreboard reads, you know, the Green Bay Packers 98, and their opposition, they don't have a team name because there's nobody out there because they're not playing against anybody else.
Uh-huh.
They're got zero.
No, but you're absolutely right, though. I mean, there's nobody had to stop this from happening.
Just well, like, and that is why when I hear people talking about all the inflation is caused by this or this political thing, well, you know, there is some politics that is involved in it, but a lot of it also has to do with the fact that there's a lot of politics that protect these big monopolies, these big corporate greed grabbers, and they like to do that because, and how can they get away with it? Just look at the people who are financing a lot of campaigns of a lot of political people who could maybe make those changes.
Right.
Dark money is what they call it.
Dark money.
I don't call it dark money. I call it more of a bribe.
Shady money?
A bribe. It's a bribe.
Okay.
You're bribing. You're bribing this politician or that influencer to see, look the other way.
Yeah, that's
all those controls or all those things to maybe hone some of that stuff in is suddenly not being talked about or it's not being offered to legislation. It took a lot of screaming, a lot of hollering, and a lot of kicking and flailing arms, but finally, the pharmaceuticals who are forcing people to pay ungodly amounts of money for insulin. Stuff that, you know, people need to control their diabetes, which people figured out and, you know, that how much money people were paying for that insulin was enormous profit margin for the pharmaceuticals. And it wasn't until some of these politicians and some of these people who basically been hiding that fact were shamed, pointed out, the spotlight was focused on them. They couldn't hide in the dark places anymore. The spotlight was on the pharmaceuticals to the point where government at least was able to put the pressure of the spotlight, the hot light on them, showing them that why can you purchase one of those breathers for people who have trouble with asthma and things of that nature? Why can you purchase those up in Canada for about 10% or 15% of what it's being charged here in the United States?
Right.
Greed. That's the one word that I think right now is the word that describes how the current mentality of corporations, businesses, and people well off who make a lot of money. There's people out there who make a lot of money, which is fine, you know, if you've done the work and that. But it comes to the point where, and when President Joe Biden talked about millionaires and corporations paying their fair share of taxes,
right?
And I love it when they talked about making the IRS, getting more people into the IRS to keep an eye on those companies and individuals. There were people who were screaming, "Oh, the IRS, you know." No. The IRS is doing the job to get the money that is owed to this country.
Right.
From individuals and corporations and from you and me. I've never had any kind of fear of having the IRS, you know, do anything as far as taking a look at my books, because my books, I don't go too far to the left from the decimal point.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm more of a single-digit kind of guy, okay? So anyway, we're going to continue on. By the way, just a reminder, Sean Wright won't be in from the executive director of the Grand Theater. He won't be in our next segment, but we'll be back with more coming up right after this message. And sometimes I don't know how to feel. Should I be angry? Should I be ticked off? Should I be, you know, pointing fingers? Should I be, you know, accusing people? No.
Some days it's just hard to know.
Some days I just like to spout off when I have the opportunity. But I try to be reasonable about it.
Yeah, because I try to be open-minded, too.
Yeah, and I think that... I think the vast majority of people, and this is, and I know that when I visit with Chad, when I'm, you know, visiting with him every other Wednesday, you know, and he always looked at me and says, you're too much of a pragmatist, he would say to me.
I'm not sure what that means.
Well, it means that I'll listen to every side, you know, both sides of an issue. Oh. And I'm not one to scream and holler at just one side, you know, has all the right answers. And I like to listen to the concerns of individuals who may not agree with me. Because for me to learn why that other person is so mentally, you know, drained by a specific, you know, topic or a specific issue, why is it, you know, sometimes the best question that can be delivered is that one word, three letters, why?
Why?
Why do you feel like this? You know, I would like to hear it, and you know, I'd like to hear from folks like that. And I would think that maybe there would be a little bit more thought process in that. Just because well, that person's a Democrat, I'm not going to listen to him. Or that radio station is considered to be progressive. Oh, we can't go on that station because they're progressive. What does progressive mean? Progressive is, well, besides being
progressive, was we were moving in the right direction.
Well, progressive means to move ahead, you know, not stand by and just kind of stand still.
What things happen?
You know, if you see, you know, a problem ahead of you and we can come up with a solution to remedy it, wouldn't you want to move forward? That's what progressive is here. Mm-hmm. Move forward and to at least try. In fact, that's the state of Wisconsin's one word motto. Forward.
Uh-huh.
And it's something that I've lived by virtually all my life. There have been so many times I've been knocked down on my butt professionally, mentally, socially. And the one thing that I always tried to do, and is the best of my ability, is get back up, get back into the fray, get in there and do my best, whatever it is. Whether I was playing sports, you know, growing up, or working in the broadcasting business. And being in the broadcast business, I've gone through so many changes. I mean, back when I was, here comes Grandpa news again. Back when I was getting on, how we edited commercials, or how we had reel-to-reel tape, and you had a splicing block where you take the tape. And if you wanted to cut out like a couple of words or that, you'd have to physically, you know, mark it with a wax pencil and then make the cuts and then splice it together.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now you have computers, you just, and you're done in, you know, virtually seconds, what would take you maybe an hours to do.
Exactly.
And, you know, from playing 45 RPM records on turntables as a disc jockey, which you don't see any of that anymore. Then we got into cart machines, which were, you know, rotating tape of a song. That's what we played on. Don't do those anymore. Mm-mm. Well, then we started getting into playing compact discs.
Oh.
Yeah, compact discs, you know.
I still have a lot of CDs. I
do too. I do too. You know, but now, if you want popular music, what do you go on to?
Like Apple or iTunes or Spotify.
And put it into your smartphone or whatever your pleasure is.
I still have like an old fashioned MP, a 3-player. I still use them. I put songs on there and I got my big headphones on. I listen to my mixtape playlist when I'm working or exercising. It's just,
and
it's a lot more enjoyable than just trying to search for things on your phone, because
the phone is beautiful.
It's like you have.
It gives you a lot of stuff nice early in your discussion, or all of a sudden you're talking with somebody, and it's like somebody comes up with, gee, how many wins did the New York Football Giants have last year? Well, you go to your smartphone real quick and go to the, and it tells you how many wins. Before there was smartphones, before there was internet, it was like, well, who can we call?
People.
You'd be calling up TV stations or and asking,
hey, do you know how many games the New York Giants won last season in the NFL?
And of course, then that person's got to dig through. It's a long process.
Yeah.
Is it nice to have things fast and right at your hands? Yeah. But then again, it's kind of fun once in a while to let the old brain, or between the ears, like, kind of remember. You know, like, I was just talking with a friend about some baseball deals, and they were talking about the Milwaukee Brewers. And of course, I skipped my afternoon classes as a freshman in high school to go to Milwaukee County Stadium for game one of the brand new baseball team in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Brewers.
Cool.
I didn't skip school in the normal way where I just didn't show up, or, you know, I went to the vice principal's office that morning. Mm-hmm. I had talked to my teachers prior to this. Hey, I'm planning on taking off this next afternoon. Okay. And he says, what is your lesson plan? If you have a test or a quiz, can I take it early? Or and so I had all the teachers sign off on it. I went to see the vice principal the morning of the game. I says, sir, I need to be off out of school this afternoon. Yeah, Mr. Look, why do you have to be out of here? I says, I'm going to a baseball game. And he looked at me like, huh? And I go, yeah, I'm going to the Milwaukee Brewers, got their first baseball game. I says, here's my teachers for my afternoon classes. They've all signed off that I'm working ahead. I read the assignments ahead of time, or I took any text. So they don't need me here, you know. So I'm asking you if I can be let go to go to the game. And he just looked at me and he said, I'll never forget this. He just kind of looked at me and goes, have fun. And off I went.
That's all he said.
Off in Milwaukee County, I could just get onto the Milwaukee County Transit Authority, hop onto their bus, couple of connections, and get me right to County Stadium, drop me right off at the stadium. I bought a bleacher ticket. I went and saw the game. So I've been at game one of the Brewers, and I'm still going strong here.
That's very cool.
In 2024.
Did they win?
Oh, no, they lost badly. They lost 12-0.
Oh.
It was, what? Shh. Baseball was back. And speaking of baseball, we're going to talk to a real live baseball scout coming up in our next segment. You're listening to the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, on this Wednesday morning. Chad Holmes Show. Chad on vacation. He'll be back tomorrow at 8 o'clock for the program. And sitting in is little me, Bob Look. And we're going to talk a little baseball. You know, we're going to take you out to the ball game, I guess would be a good way to say it. Now, there's probably nobody in the world I could think of that has heard that song more in different styles from ballparks from around the country and around the world, actually. An actual full-time baseball scout. Who finds the players to get out on the field to perform those magical things that we see? And you think, yeah, I could do that. No, you can't. And he's been doing this for a while now. And I'd like to introduce you to my friend, Carl Moshe. Carl, good morning to you.
Bob, good morning. It's great to hear from you as always. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'll tell you, you're not in this immediate area, you know, because we're up here in Wausau, Wisconsin. Right now we got 19 degrees and a wind chill of 5 above. And where are you at?
I'm heading to Seattle for a game today. It's 40 and raining, which means we're going to play. because up here, if you don't understand the elements and you understand you have to try to play, you're never going to get any games in. So it is a constant battle with weather. As you know, you and I have grown up together somewhat, and I'm used to the weather conditions in the springtime in Wisconsin. And this is not much different. So you suck it up and you go, and that is as much relevant for the players as it is for the scouts who are looking at the players.
Yeah, is this college or high school?
High school today, college on the weekend. I've got Washington State at the University of Washington this weekend. And this past weekend, I was at Arizona, at Oregon, and also at Oregon State. And they're currently ranked number 2 in the country. Well, so I'm down at Corvallis quite a bit.
Well, again, let me just explain to the folks listening in here. Carl and I, we've known each other, a few years. We worked together for a while when I was working in radio in Port Washington, Wisconsin, doing high school sports. And Carl wanted to get a little bit more into that. You were doing some newspaper work, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in McHenry, Illinois. I was a sports editor there.
Yeah.
For 2 years before I met you and came back to Wisconsin where I grew up. And it's been a little bit of a whirlwind because you never lose that knowledge of the sport, the love of the sport, and the pursuit of something that you wanted to get into. And I knew when I had a chance to get into baseball, I was never going to look back. And I jumped into that after I left Wisconsin doing games with you at on the radio at Port Washington. And
yep.
It's hard to believe it's been 41 years, Bob.
Wow.
It seems like yesterday every time I talk to you, but it's been 41 years, and I wouldn't change a thing.
And again, you didn't come in there as a scout. You got into the baseball, but you basically showed up the winter meetings of Major League Baseball, right?
I did. I went to the winter meetings in 1983 in Houston and decided I was going to throw my hat in the ring and see where it might take me. I really didn't care about where. I just knew that the goal was to get in, get that foot in the door, as they say,
yep.
and never look back. And so my first stop was in the Pioneer League, Butte, Montana, the Seattle Mariners rookie club. I spent a year there. Then I spent a year in Portland, Oregon with the AAA Portland Beavers,
yeah.
Philadelphia's AAA team in the office. And then I decided I wanted to get out in the field and evaluate players. I needed to be on the road. I needed to be looking at talent. And that was kind of the driving force for me getting into scouting. And so in this business, you're always on the go. Scouts are road warriors. And for me to get that first job, I had to relocate from Portland, Oregon, basically to Philadelphia.
Whoa.
And, that's where I started in 1986.
Wow. So here you are, out in the Pacific Northwest doing your stuff. And, okay, all right, now if you want to move forward here, we're going to have to send you to Philadelphia. Oh, great.
Right.
And you've been making stops in all sorts of areas, haven't you?
I have. I've covered the entire country by moving back east and then working my way back to the Northwest for another job here. At that time, I scouted for the Orioles. They hired me at the beginning. And then I was hired by the New York Yankees. Nobody says no to Mr. Steinbrenner. and then I worked for Major League Baseball itself as a scout for the Scouting Bureau for over 20 years. And then I was fortunate enough to join the Red Sox the fall before we won the World Series in 2018. So I'm stuck in the American League East, Bob. I can't get out of that division. But it's been a great ride, and it's taken me coast to coast, if you will, and then back again, as well as my duties with USA Baseball, where I've served as an advanced scout for Team USA.
Yes, this is back in the Olympics, right? This is back in the Olympics when baseball's in there?
I was there in 2000. We won the gold medal, beat Cuba in the gold medal game in Sydney, Australia.
Yep.
I was in the 2008 games in Beijing. I've done the Pan Am games, the World Cup games, the World Baseball Classic when they brought that out. And, so I've done a variety of international events, as you mentioned earlier. And it's all part of the learning process for me about how different countries play, the style that they play, the type of athletes they have, how you identify strengths and weaknesses, but all at the same time, all encompassing, Bob, is that you appreciate who these people are and you appreciate the opportunity to see them and to travel and the experiences and the people along the way. It's, to me, it's always been about the journey. It's never been about rising to the top of a mountain somewhere for a certain position. It's been enjoying the ride, if you will, and that's what I continue to do.
And you're talking about being on the road, and people look at baseball. Oh well, baseball is a summer game. It's a warm weather game. Well, you're not. It doesn't work that way for you. You're out and about, and what in a typical year, how many days out of say a 365 year, how many are you not like sleeping in your own favorite bed? How many approximately, where you're out on the road?
Yeah, I would. It's hard to approximate because it changes every year by assignment.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell you conservatively that I'm on the road from, if I look at the holiday schedule, I'm on the road pretty much from Valentine's Day until Thanksgiving.
Mm.
And that's gonna limit me only if I don't go to Puerto Rico or Venezuela or someplace like that and cover winter ball for the Caribbean World Series, if you will.
Wow.
So out of 365, I'm easily gone probably 200 nights.
Wow.
That's gonna vary, but it depends again because once the draft is done, my primary responsibility now, today, is the Pacific Northwest. So I cover 6 states in Western Canada right now. But once we finish with the draft in July,
right,
the Red Sox send me everywhere. And I'm in Florida. I'm covering perfect game events. I'm at showcases. I can do a variety of things. And I'm always at their disposal, and I'm happy to be that way. So it's just, it never gets old for me. I know it may seem like a grind to some. Your listeners might think this is not a lifestyle I would enjoy. But what I love about it, it's not unlike any other sport, Bob, in that every day is different. You don't know what you're going to see. You just got to be there. And today, I get up. Right now, it's 46 and raining in my car. And I'm excited because I know I'm going to see a good player at 4:00. So you go with that outlook. You go with the optimism that you're going to play. You're going to see something that you maybe hadn't seen before. Or you might even discover somebody new that you didn't even know about. And that happens all the time.
I bet you probably go to a location. You probably go to a location at the suggestion of somebody like your team or who forwards those names to you to go take a look at, and then you kind of look at the other players that are there just because they're playing the game.
That's right. And that's why tournaments are the most valuable for me, because you can sit in one venue and you might have 2 or 3 or 4 games going on that day.
Mm-hmm.
So you might see 8 different teams, say in a high school tournament. You might be there to see one pitcher, but when the day is done, you saw 8 different high schools. So you're going to gather names. You're going to put them on your follow list, if you will, for the next year of eligibility, that the day that they might become draft eligible. And that's how you build your list. You don't build your list by sitting at home. You build your list by going to the parks, interacting with people, watching the kids play, see them at a young age, and then continue to track their progress up until the time they become high school seniors, if we're talking about a high school player, and they become draft eligible. So you typically are 2-3 years out from when you first see them until it happens, or it might happen. But it's a never-ending process. And as I said earlier, Bob, for me, this is what keeps it fresh, because every day is different. I'm still going to high schools that I've never been to before. And I've been back out here since 1990.
Wow.
I'm still going to places for the first time and meeting new coaches and understanding what they do and where they play and how do we get there and where's the field located and all those kind of things that we might take for granted. But for us, it's an everyday adventure. And that's to me, as I said, keeps it fresh.
You're listening to the Chad Holmes Show. I'm Bob Look, sitting in for Chad. And our guest here for this half hour is professional baseball scout Carl Moshe, a good friend of mine who I've known for many a year. And you're going to be back in the state of Wisconsin, isn't that right?
Yes, I get back in to do the Northwoods League. I love the Northwoods League. I always try to get up to Wausau to see you and some of my other friends where I grew up.
Sure.
You know, I grew up in Milwaukee, so I always make a trip over to the Lakeshore Chinooks.
Yep.
And I get up to Wausau to see you, and I go to Green Bay because if you're from Wisconsin, you got to visit Green Bay. And I enjoy it in the summertime. The people are great. I love the atmosphere of the Northwoods League, the crowds. And it's a competitive league. We used to think in the, years ago that the Alaska League was great for amateurs. as a second-tier type league to the Cape Cod League, which always promotes itself as the premier summer college league. But I can tell you there's everybody can't go to the Cape Cod, so you've got to find other leagues that are excellent, that are going to develop players, that are going to give you at-bats and innings, and they're going to be playing in nice stadiums that make it easy for these guys to play and easy for us to scout. And the Northwoods League is great, and I always put in for that because, you know, the sentimental guy that I am, it's an opportunity to come home and get to places like Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids because I went to school in Stevens Point.
Yep.
And I grew up and went to high school in Milwaukee. So for me, it's an opportunity to come home, and there's always value in that, and I always appreciate that as well.
Carl, I just got a question. What makes a good baseball scout? And when teams are hiring people to, you know, do scouting work for you, what are some of the things that the teams and organizations look for in an effective and successful baseball scout?
I think number one, you have to have good evaluation skills. You have to be able to separate the players. You have to be able to make snap judgments. Know what you're looking for, and be ready to get after that and pursue that once you find it. You've got to be willing to get up and go. You've got to have that. You've got to have that self-motivation every morning. You've got to have that organizational skills to know where you're going to be tomorrow, next week, next month.
Carl, we got to take a little short break, if you don't mind. Got to hit a hard commercial break.
Sure.
It'll be about just a couple of minutes, and we'll be right back with you, okay?
Sure.
All right. Carl Moshe, pro baseball scout, on the air with us here on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Chad Holmes Show on this Wednesday morning. I'm Bob Look, sitting in for Chad here on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, talking baseball, but from a different perspective, from the perspective of a professional baseball scout. And on the line with us, we have a good friend of mine, Carl Moshe, who's been doing this quite a few years. And we were just talking about you're making those trips back to Wisconsin and the ballparks. And the league that plays here in Wausau now is a college wood bat summer league. And these are young college players that are either maybe working out some injuries they might have had late in the college schedule, or they're trying to get a little bit more experience, especially with wooden bats as opposed to the metal bats that they use in the regular college games. So it's just basically another opportunity for the young players to, and especially in the Northwoods League, because of the fact, as you mentioned before, Carl, they're playing in front of a nice crowd usually, a lot of people, and that enthusiasm is close to playing something with a little bit more. And plus, it's playing virtually every day, whereas in college you basically just play two games on the weekend, right?
Right, and the other thing, Bob, is you don't know everybody's situation or circumstance. You have guys that maybe didn't pitch in the spring because they were injured,
right?
And now it's June or July, and this is their season opener. So you've got guys that are active in the transfer portal. They're going from one school to another, and they want to get more at-bats, or their new coach wants them working on something different. So everybody's got a reason to be there. And for me, it really boils down to who wants to be there. I mean, you asked me before about what do you look for in scouting and what do clubs look for. I think you have to – two things that I would mention early, Bob, is that you got to have passion for this job. You got to want to do this, get up every day and be a part of this for what your role is. But you've also got to have perspective. You have to know that this guy might be the best player in a team, but is he really a big league prospect? So, you know, we can fall in love with certain things, but we really have to see the big picture and understand what we're looking for. But with these kids, I love the passion too, because I'm very passionate about baseball, and it's always been a part of my life forever. And for me, I appreciate the kids that have that same energy, because the guys that go to the ballpark every day, that want to be at the ballpark every day, rather than the ones that feel like they have to be there or somebody told them they need to be there. And that's pretty evident, whether I see it in the springtime, high school or college, or whether I go to the Northwoods League or the Cape Cod or Alaska. You can tell the kids that love being there and enjoy what they do. And those are the kids I zero in on, because I know that that's who they are inside, and I know that's going to continue maybe at the next level once they leave where they are right now.
Yeah.
So that's always one of the things that I'm impressed with, the guys that show me that they care, they show me that they want to play, they show me that they want to get better. And, you know, as we say when I go to Latin America, the guys that can really throw, they show it off because they want you to see that they can really do that.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a great time doing it. And if you've ever want to get energized, all you need to do is go down to the Dominican Republic and watch one of these Dominican Summer League games and watch the players when they come out to take pregame infield. And you'll never hear pregame like you do down there where everybody's hooping and hollering. And clapping and loving how hard these guys throw and the snap throws. I mean, Bob, every day is Mardi Gras.
The joy of the game.
The joy of the game. It's Mardi Gras playing baseball. And you know what? I've never seen anything like it, and I can't tell you that I've enjoyed it more.
We only have a couple of minutes left here in the program, but I wanted to quickly just ask you, is there some names of some either current ball players or ball players in the past that you might have seen early and kind of help get them into the biz, I guess?
Yes, there's. I look at the box scores. We used to have newspapers, but I can tell you there's guys on every team that at one point or another I've seen them play, probably as an amateur, as a minor league player, before they got to the show. And the charismatic ones, the really talented ones that do things the right way stand out. I guess that there's a couple of people that are really special to me, if that's the word. Mike Mussina, who's a Hall of Famer, I drafted him out of high school.
Wow.
He's my one guy in the Hall of Fame. And he was just so mature beyond years as a high school senior. Just remarkable in what he's done. And I called him when he got drafted. When he got with the call for the Hall of Fame. And it was just, you know, I've known Mike since 1986.
Wow.
So, you know, these are the long-term relationships. I look at the guys that go above and beyond that I got to know, that play the game with a little extra zest, that make those around them better, that show up every day, and they may not be the team captain, but they sure act like it. And everybody looks up to them in a variety of ways for a variety of things. And I've been close to Craig Biggio for a long time. He was a catcher at Seton Hall. Before he was drafted by Houston. You know, people like that, to me, one of the most remarkable college players because of the energy level and what he brought every day. And to me, he's one of the best position guys I've ever scouted. And then Adley Rutschman comes along at Oregon State, and you see what he's doing with the Orioles.
Yep.
So I can't put one above the other. So I'm just going to tell you those are my two favorite guys of all time.
Well, Carl, I'll tell you what. I appreciate...
20 years apart.
You're going through generations, aren't you?
I am. I'm now scouting kids that I've scouted their fathers. So that's how this process works.
Yeah. All right. Carl, my friend, listen, safe travels. I'm looking forward to seeing you this summer out at the ballpark. And again, a pleasure talking to you again. And thanks for letting folks see a little bit inside of what a baseball scout's all about.
Thanks for coming on the show, Carl.
Anytime, Bob.
All right.
Appreciate it, Bob.
You bet. And I'll see him in the summertime. And we're gonna go and have a few brewskis over at Northwoods League and the Wausau Woodchucks in action this summer when he gets into town. Yeah, we're at about the last minute or so in the program. Mm-hmm. I did want to have an opportunity again to thank Bull Falls Radio for letting me sit in here and giving Chad a little break so he could take care of himself with a little vacation time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's going to be getting everyone's attention with the beautiful tan that he's got from laying out on those beaches and laying out there in the sun and just not having to work and stuff. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed our little visits here, and yeah, you'll probably hear me again with Chad as a guest every other week on Wednesdays. And thanks a lot for listening. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a while since I've been doing radio on a little bit of a regular basis.
He did
a great job. Thanks to Ian for his patience with me, that he didn't scream at me and say, "You can't do that!" But have yourself a wonderful rest of the week, and a happy Easter to everyone.